I just don't think the choices are all that good. And so if I'm stuck between several so-so choices, give me the guy that could potentially turn my offensive line into a huge, huge strength. If that happens, then the running game automatically gets better. And of course, our phenomenally talented quarterback has an easier life in year two. And that's really what I care about the most.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of the Music City Audible, a Tennessee Titans podcast. I'm your host, Justin Graver, full-time NFL producer for Odyssey. And joining me, as always, the managing editor of Titan Size, publisher of NFL Draft on SI, and my co-host, Justin Mello. Justin, we got Dave Hellman of the Athletic Football Show joining us today. And as you just heard in that intro clip, he has some ideas about who he wants to see the Titans take at number four that, let's put it this way, diverge from consensus. How you doing, Justin?
Yeah, I'm doing well, really good episode on tap here with Dave Hellman. Some of you are probably going to leave hate comments in the comments after the episode. I definitely think he's got some ideas that probably don't align with the consensus. But I had a lot of fun, you know, debating those topics with him a little bit. Because I'll be honest with you, I don't see it. I don't agree with one of the options that he mentions. I probably could have gone even harder on pushing back, but I always like to play devil's advocate, and I'm always into hearing people out, as long as it's not the craziest, worst idea I've ever heard. And it's not the craziest, worst idea I've ever heard. So had fun talking with Dave, and we're going to talk about everyone, though. We're going to talk about the running back that we're not supposed to talk about. You won't talk about it. I'll talk about him. Dave can talk about him. We actually put duct tape over Graver's mouth. You're going to see it later. Once we bring up the running back, we just full-blown, you know, go kidnap style on his ass. I'm going to talk about the running back. Dave's going to talk about the running back. We're going to talk about wide receivers. We're talking about linebackers. We're talking about offensive linemen. We're going to talk all things Tennessee Titans NFL draft with Dave Hellman of the Athletic Football Show. Really good guest on tap today. Shout out to you, Graver. You booked this one.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, this is a great conversation. It's another way to look at this top pick that we have talked about so many times. Get some fresh perspective in here, some other ideas, and I think you guys are going to enjoy it. And stay to the end, because the conclusion that we ultimately come to at the end of this conversation with Dave, I think Titans fans will appreciate it. So without further ado, let's get to it. All right, let's welcome him onto the show now. It's my buddy Dave Hellman. Find him on the Athletic Football Show and also co-hosting Building the Beast all year with Dane Brugler. The Beast is out. Dave, it's built. How you doing? Thanks for joining us today.
So happy to be on, Justin. From the time I mean, you've been at war in the NFL community, the draft streets for the last like 3 weeks, so I'm happy to get on and pick your brain instead of just laughing while I read through your tweets.
My very respectful debates with Mina Kimes and other people.
They are respectful, for the record. Like, you're very above board. You're very professional. But I just remember I was like checking what I woke up or was about to go to bed, like checking Twitter the way that I do. And I was like, damn, Justin, tell me how you really feel, man. Like, you really want this running back in Nashville. Let's go.
Yeah, so the running back that we're not talking about, Justin, we're not talking about him. We're in a moratorium phase here. We brought Dave on specifically because he mentioned a different potential avenue. So, Justin, I don't know what you want from me.
I don't believe him, Dave. I'll tell you right now, there's no way that Jeremiah Love doesn't come up at some point. To give you an example of what I've been going through on this show, I'll be talking about like a seventh round D tackle that I like. And he'll be like, oh, I wonder if he'd tackle Jeremiah Love at training camp. You know, like that's essentially how I feel. You ever see the memes when like a boyfriend and girlfriend break up and it's like everything reminds me of him? I feel like everything Graver sees in his everyday life reminds him of Jeremiah Love.
Yeah, you're talking about like sixth round linebackers like Xavien Sorey out of Arkansas. And Justin's like, oh, I saw him trying to tackle Jeremiah Love in the Notre Dame film. And you're like, no, that's not the point today. We're talking about other stuff today.
And that is the case today, Dave. So there are other options. I mean, I look, we're going to talk tomorrow with Connor Orr. We're going deep on Jeremiah Love. He just published today, actually, a Sports Illustrated profile cover story issue on Jeremiah Love, the person, not even a scouting report, So we'll save that for tomorrow. Today, we have other things to discuss, like the other options. I was watching Peter Schrager's expert mock draft with Field Yates and Ran Carthon, funnily enough, and Dane Brugler, which happened yesterday, and they went back and forth. Dane picked Styles for the Titans, then switched it and was like, you know, I'm going to pick Jeremiah Love, and then was sort of egged on by the rest of the panel to go back to Styles. And Ran Carthon's talking about how he can see Robert Saleh viewing Styles, that he was in San Francisco with Robert Saleh when Tremaine Edmonds came into the draft, and that Robert Saleh pounded the table for Tremaine Edmonds, loved the way that he defended in coverage. Field Yates comes on and says, I can see it. I don't think they're quite the same. Like, I don't think Styles in coverage is quite Fred Warner, who they ended up drafting later in that draft. But they ended up giving Styles to the Titans despite the talk about Jeremiah Love. Dave, do you think that this is something that could happen, that the Titans would look at the fourth overall pick? Let's say it's Mendoza, Bailey, Reese in some order, and say, you know what? We could help our quarterback with this running back pick here, but it's a running back. We're not gonna be that team. Robert Saleh taking over is like, I need my middle linebacker. Do you think this could happen?
I mean, I absolutely think it could happen. And I'm a huge fan of Sonny Styles. Like, forget about positional value and all those fun conversations. I'm not saying that they're not important, but just in terms of watching a football player, Sonny Styles is one of my favorite prospects in this year's draft class. I mean, go turn on the Indiana game in the Big Ten championship and just watch everything that does. I mean, Fred Warner is a completely unfair comp, right? Obviously, but I understand why people go there when they're trying to get people excited about the ceiling for a prospect like this. Like, he's an incredibly smart, incredibly good player. I think he plugs right in to your defense right away. Obviously, Saleh being who he is, I can see the appeal of that. But what I told you, Justin, and the thing that kind of sparked you asking me to come on is, having said all of that great stuff, and I do love Sonny Styles, I need pick number four. I need the Tennessee Titans to be more committed to their quarterback. I need this pick to be offense. It has to be. And I know, like the Titans have been a pretty bad team for most of the last few years. Of course, they have a lot of needs. Of course, the linebacker depth chart looks very empty. They could probably use Caleb Downs too. Like, even with the work that they've done in free agency on the defensive front, and I will say the one caveat, if for some reason Reese or Bailey falls to four, like if they don't go 1-2 at 2 and 3, you probably have to visit that just because of the value of an edge rusher. But assuming those guys are not there, I need this pick to help Cam Ward. And Justin, you know, because I hound you like every week, or I hounded you every week during the season. Like, I love Cam Ward so much, man. I see the flashes. I see the talent. And I can't in good conscience ignore what he went through last year for an off-ball linebacker, even though I love Sonny Styles. I can't do it. And so I think Jeremiah Love is absolutely an option. I don't hate anybody that wants to talk about that. I know, sorry, moratorium. No, no J-Love talk. I don't get why we're just seemingly blowing past the concept of adding to the offensive line with number four overall. Like, I don't really understand why. And I know in this day and age, 10 million people do mocks. I'm sure there's somebody out there driving the O-line to Tennessee train. But when you talk about the overall landscape and the big national shows and the insiders, it doesn't seem like anybody's talking about that. And I don't really understand why. Could y'all enlighten me?
Yeah, I think I'd be curious to have that conversation. I guess the situation with the O-line, I mean, separate conversation is there a player worth, you know, taking there? I guess that's up for debate. I think we're all in agreement that it's probably not like a blue chip offensive line type of class. But the situation on the Titans O-line right now, Dave, is that they've got a right tackle that they obviously like quite a bit in J.C. Latham, you know, who's still growing, but they spent a top 10 pick on 2 years ago. At left tackle, they've got Dan Moore, who they overpaid last offseason, no doubt about it. They knew they overpaid him when they did it. It was a four-year, $82 million deal. Graver, you might disagree, and I know some people will disagree in the comments. Like, he was okay. I don't think he was the disaster that some make him out to be. Very clearly a Band-Aid, you know, solution that they were willing to overpay for, because to catch you up, before they overpaid him, they essentially had the worst left tackle play in the league for a number of years running, like post-Taylor
LeJuan.
Yeah, like post-Taylor LeJuan, they couldn't figure out that spot. They paid Andre Dillard. They brought in Dennis Date. Like, it was just a disaster. So they overpaid Dan Moore. They get pretty decent play out of him, right? League average, at least. He's going to be the starting left tackle this year, no doubt about it. So the question that I'd pose to you, and I'm, you know, very curious to get your opinion, can they afford to take someone at number four that, A, you know, sits for an entire year, is your swing tackle, for example, or B, you know, do you consider starting someone out at guard and then kicking them out to tackle? Like, we're operating under the assumption, and I know I'm getting long-winded, we're operating under the assumption that they might probably cut Dan Moore next offseason, because that's when they can kind of move off that deal. And but can you use the number four overall pick on something that, or someone that theoretically isn't going to help you this year?
So I think you laid it out really perfectly, Justin, and here's why I think it makes a ton of sense for the Tennessee Titans specifically. Francis Maui-Noah can play guard. Like, I know he didn't do it in college, obviously. He was a fantastic college right tackle, but there are plenty of people in this draft process that see him as a guard because of the lateral quickness concerns, because of the arm length and wingspan concerns. So I posit to you that at number four overall, you take Francis Maui-Noah. And I think it's a valid point. I think on, like, the national perception of J.C. Latham is like, oh, maybe Francis Maui-Noah could replace Latham. I think more likely is Latham stays right where he is and you plug Francis Maui-Noah in at right guard. And guess what? You either, for at least the next year or two, you have a badass right side of your offensive line. And on top of that, Maui-Noah could be your heir apparent at right tackle. Like, I don't know what the future holds for J.C. Latham, but it gives you a backup plan if the long-term future for J.C. Latham is not getting extended in Tennessee. And so, and it's a good point about Dan Moore and when they potentially decide to move off of him. But I would say, especially if you further stabilize the offensive line with a guy like Francis Maui-Noah, you could potentially make that work where he's got a longer runway than he would, and you don't have to make that decision next year. Maybe he could be your left tackle for two more years. I think it would go a long way towards stabilizing things. I think it would obviously help Cam Ward. It would make the run game better. And I know Tony Pollard's been perfectly fine, even with the Titans' offensive line struggles, but you could soup this thing up to make life easier on Tony or add another running back to the mix and see what happens there. You know, I think Jeremiah Love is obviously, he's in a class all his own, but there are other running backs in this class. I know it's a quote unquote bad running back year. And that is true, especially compared to last year when there were like 25 of them, but there are still good talented running backs in this draft class that the Titans could draft if they want to address that. And so it's not ideal. Like, this is, I mean, we've been saying it since October on Building the Beast. Like, this is not a phenomenal top 10, top 12 of the draft. And so it probably doesn't, you know, it doesn't feel good like drafting a guard in the top five and saying, well, like, this doesn't solve left tackle for the next decade and he might have to change positions in the future. But These are your options. Like, your other choices here are probably a running back, albeit a very good running back, or an off-ball linebacker, a hybrid safety. Like, I just don't think the choices are all that good. And so if I'm stuck between several so-so choices, give me the guy that could potentially turn my offensive line into a huge, huge strength. If that happens, then the running game automatically gets better. And of course, our phenomenally talented quarterback has an easier life in year two. And that's really what I care about the most. So it's more like a double to the gap than a home run, but I think that's okay in this draft.
We've heard it a lot that, you know, all the insiders are reporting, GMs are saying, this is a draft where you just want to hit doubles. And we're going to talk we've talked at length about taking a linebacker, a running back, even a safety as a non-premium position at number four overall. I mean, guard, like we just write off guard. Guard is a non-premium position that the Titans need. And we're like, why wouldn't that also be in the mix here? I'll share one other thing. I don't know what the Titans view J.C. Latham as. Justin, you said the Titans have a right tackle that they love in J.C. Latham. I mean, we don't know that they love.
A right tackle that they like, I think. I mean, I know the GM who is here now isn't the one who drafted him, but...
who already traded two of the players that the other GM who took Latham drafted.
But do you think he's got the same... like, he's not... Come on, he's not Jarvis Brownlee, right? Who's got, like, clear, you know, head case issues. And then with Tavondre Sweat, we knew it was a bit of combination of the work ethic and the scheme fit. I don't know that that's quite the same, right? J.C. Latham's not on that level, right?
I don't think he's on that level, but there were rumblings throughout the season, around the trade deadline. Like, there have been rumblings. I don't think that it's necessarily like they are planning to get rid of J.C. Latham or anything. But as Dave said, if to plan for his eventual successor, get somebody that can contribute right away, that makes the team better right now, and still could step into a more premium position in a year or two if they do move on from Latham in some regard. Like, it's not the craziest thing. And most Titans fans, I feel like, have just written it off as like, well, they're not doing that, so why are we talking about it?
And for that matter, I won't pretend to know more about football or certainly about the Titans roster than Mike Bergonzi and Robert Saleh. And if they were on board with doing this, who's to say they don't put Maui Noah at right tackle and then J.C. Latham is just an extremely big, competent, qualified guard? Like, however you want to do it, I just think your offensive line is much better if you draft this guy and a rising tide lifts all boats. That's the way I look at it.
And if they do manage to trade back, because there's a lot of smoke about the Cowboys want to come up, although the latest thing today, I guess, is that the Cowboys, it seems like the Cowboys have already traded the Browns for pick six based on the way it's being mocked around today. But if the Cowboys came up to number four because Arvell Reese is still there, because the Cardinals take Jeremiah Love or whatever, you know, and the other thing is like, how many mock drafts have the Cardinals taking Maui Noah at three overall? And it's like, that's not too early, but now we're talking about the Titans taking him at four is like maybe too early. I don't know. But it does strike me as a more likely pick if they move down from that number four overall spot.
Sure.
And maybe even like the most likely pick if they move down from that spot. I don't know.
I mean, I think if they move down, I mean, there's a ton of guys you could probably bunch together. I don't think you'd call anyone the most likely pick at that point. If they move down, Carnell Tate's an option. If Jeremiah Love is still on the board, he's an option. One of the other wide receivers. Like, I think there's a ton of guys. Just a quick note on the Cardinals thing. Like, I get what you're saying. It's not too early for them at three. I think most of the mocks that have him there, though, like, they don't have a right tackle in Arizona right now. Like, to give you perspective, too, great. Like, they signed Ollie Udo, who was a Titan wing tackle last year, and he's kind of projected. So I think it's a bit of an easier projection. Like, well, he's their day one starting right tackle, no questions asked, in Arizona. And then you eliminate the value part of the conversation because he's playing tackle. So I do think it's a bit different, but I get it. Like, it's, you know, and when we talk devalued positions, and I'm not going to get on board with it in all honesty, but when we talk devalued positions, you want to compare guard, like the NFL, they pay guards more than they pay running backs and linebackers technically, right? Like they tell you by what they pay these guys that they do actually value guard more than they value running back and linebacker.
I looked this up last night because I knew we were going to talk about this. Obviously, so Will Campbell was the fourth overall pick last year. He's making a little less than $11 million, which slots him in as the 35th highest paid offensive tackle in the league. So it's obviously a bargain. It's one of the premium positions. It's very appealing to draft a tackle with a pick like that. Guard's not quite as big of a it's not quite as crazy as offensive tackle. But if you were to draft Maui Noah at four, that salary range, like just around $11 million, would put him 23rd in AAV among guards. Like, we talk about guard like it's this unpremium position and you don't want to use these crazy resources on them, but the good ones get paid really, really well at this point. So, and just for reference, Jeremiah Love, if he were to be drafted in that draft range, he's about the 12th highest paid running back out of the chute. So, which still not, it's not as bad as it would have been a few years ago for the record, but it's a huge difference between getting a, you know, a top tier guard on that salary and a top tier running back.
Yeah. And I, Justin and I had talked about this right before free agency started, how Jeremiah Love would be a top 10 highest paid running back if the Titans used that pick on him. But then the Chiefs went and signed Kenneth Walker, and you know, other
we threw some cash around at the running back position in free agency. Probably because the Chiefs and Saints were like, there's no way we're getting this guy. He's a Titan.
they watched this podcast and they saw this, they saw Graver just talking about him nonstop and figured, well, Titans must feel that way.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. We talk about mental health more openly now, but asking for help can still feel hard, and BetterHelp's latest research confirms it.
BetterHelp's 2026 State of Stigma report surveyed 2,000 Americans and revealed that 85% of Americans believe getting support is wise, yet 74% say society discourages people from actually doing so. What can we as a society do to close this gap between believing in mental health support and actually seeking it out?
Well, we can start by encouraging each other to seek support when we need it. And if you're thinking of starting therapy, you should know that BetterHelp is the world's largest online therapy platform.
All you have to do to get started is fill out a short questionnaire, and BetterHelp takes care of matching you with a therapist. The best part? If you aren't happy with your match, switch to a different therapist at any time from any of BetterHelp's tailored recommendations.
Don't let stigma stand in the way of support. Start therapy with BetterHelp. Sign up and get 10% off at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com. Look, let's talk about one other option that we have kind of discussed at points on this podcast, not really today at all. And it's another option on offense that helps Cam Ward, that has a little bit of smoky buzz going on. And is Carnell Tate an option for this team at number 4 overall? Does he fit in that Brian Daboll kind of like, I need a Stephon Diggs-y type receiver here, a Malik Nabers-y type receiver here? I don't know if Carnell Tate's that, but he's the best guy available. Let's go get him. Or have they done enough at receiver with bringing back Calvin Ridley and signing Wandale Robinson, and they have these second year guys that they're theoretically excited about, although we don't know that for sure. What do you think of this one, Dave?
I definitely don't think they've done enough, right? Like to be brutally honest, like the Wandale signing was one of my least favorite major moves of free agency. Not that he's not he's a perfectly good player. It's just a lot of money. And I'll be honest, I think the Titans' misadventures in free agency have kind of scared me a little bit over the years. I'll just be very honest about that. So I don't think they've done enough. But for some reason, I don't know, 4 just feels high to me, which is, I understand, like maybe that's a little bit of hypocrisy because I'm making the case for drafting a guard in the top 5. But I don't know, 4 just feels high to me with this receiver class. And I like Carnell Tate a lot. I like Jordan Tyson for that matter, if you can promise me that he's healthy. But I don't know, this, like, it doesn't sit well with me that a receiver in this year's class would go higher than Malik Nabers did or even Ketteroa McMillan last year. Like
Chase went 5th, I think. So we'd be talking 4 here for Tate.
I mean, like 2021 was like a special top of the draft, though. I mean, that was, and I get it. Like, this is not that. And it's, you kind of have to come to terms with the fact that those sorts of talents are not at the top of this draft. But even still, something in my brain is just like, is the ceiling high enough to be worth that sort of draft pick? Like, if you're drafting a receiver in the top 5, is he going to be the centerpiece of your receiver core moving forward? And I've made the case before. I don't think that has to be true in a lot of situations. You know, people will be like, well, he's not a wide receiver 1. And I'm like, okay, well, if you're the New York Giants, why, you don't need a wide receiver 1. You have one already.
Right.
If you're the New Orleans Saints, you don't need a wide receiver 1. You have Chris Olave. Like, there are a lot of teams where you don't need a wide receiver 1. The Titans strike me as a team that kind of needs a wide receiver 1. And yeah. So to use a top five pick on a guy who maybe isn't that caliber of receiver, I don't love. And I don't think I would hate it at the end of the day because I like Carnell Tate, but I just, there are other directions I would rather go. I'd rather have Maui Noah. And I think I would take Jeremiah Love before I took Carnell Tate, because like, if we're doing the running back thing, at least we're getting that caliber of back. That's like, this sort of guy only comes out every 3 or 4 years. Let's just take him. Whereas with Carnell Tate, with Jordan Tyson, you're like, good player, but a receiver of this caliber will be available next year. And for that matter, really good receivers will be available all throughout the rest of the draft. I mean, the Titans would be able to find a receiver worth drafting with pick 35 or pick 66. And so I think that's how I come down on it.
Graver and I have kind of compared it to when they took Corey Davis at number 5 overall. It was like, good player, good receiver, but a wide receiver too. And even like, he didn't really, you know, he had some moments, like he got better as his career went on in Tennessee, but he really ironically didn't pop off, if you will, until they added AJ Brown and stopped asking him to be a wide receiver one, ironically, and said, you can thrive in this wide receiver two role because everyone else is kind of shifting coverage elsewhere. That's the issue, right? They don't have anyone that's going to shift coverage away, quote unquote, from Carnell Tate. They got some, you know, they got some guys in the room, but no one that, you know, defensive coordinators are going to, you know, be awake over at night.
If you told me that they drafted Corey Davis like with the Adoree Jackson pick, like pick number 18, I would be like, yeah, sure. Yeah. That makes sense. And he was perfectly solid for the time that he was there. But when you say number 5 overall pick, you're like, ah, feels like a missed opportunity. And that's kind of where I come down on it.
I agree. I can't, like you said, I wouldn't hate it. Like, if the Titans added Carnell Tate, like in my mind, I'm going to have to forget that they did that with the 4th overall pick,
right,
and just get excited that they added Carnell Tate, because that, like, I don't know. There are other players that will have. You want to help the quarterback. I argued it with Justin recently. Like, if you're going to take a non-premium position, take the one that helps your quarterback. Don't take Sonny Styles. Don't take Caleb Downs. Take the running back that we're not talking about. Take the guard, even, or the wide receiver. Like, go offense. Get an offensive player. That's how I feel. Unless it's Reese or Bailey falling.
I'm going to ask Dave, if you don't mind, Graver, because like, if we're assuming that it's Bailey and Reese at 2-3 in some order, I'm going to talk about the running back because you're not allowed to talk about him, but I'm allowed to talk about him. Assuming it is Bailey and Reese, 2-3, Jets, Cardinals, I think it's safe to assume, as much as we've talked about Maui Noah and Tate, I would be fairly shocked if it wasn't actually Love or Styles there at number 4. If that scenario plays out, running back, linebacker, both devalued positions, quote unquote, again, according to the salaries, I'm curious where you land on it. Do they go Love because he helps the quarterback? Or do you think they go Styles because the head coach is a defensive-minded head coach who's coached linebackers? He's got to start coaching linebackers for his career. I guess not, you know, unfair to ask you what they would do, because I don't know that we know what they would do. What would you do if it came down to, you know, Styles or Love?
It's not even a question for me. And if that's really the choice, I think we're going to find out how much say Robert Saleh has in this whole thing and how much leeway they want to give him to build the team of his dreams. But it's got to be helping the quarterback for me. I mean, you drafted this guy number 1 overall. He's got all the talent in the world. I've never met Cam Ward, but he seems like a good guy with the right approach. Mm-hmm. And he'll have a better approach if he has confidence that there's talent on his offense to help him. And I don't know how you ignore helping your number 1 overall pick at quarterback with a top 5 asset. And I get it. It's not a year to be excited about a top 5 asset, but you still have a top 5 pick in this draft. You could add, you know, a running back with the opportunity to be deeply, deeply special. And I don't know how you ignore that personally. Because look, we already did this, right? Like the Titans were such a, they were such a well-run machine for a few there years there in the Vrabel Robinson era. And, you know, the defense was ferocious and well-coached, and like the offense did just enough. Like, I mean, they had a couple years where they were better than that, but we already kind of like, we saw the ideal for this team as like a defensive minded head coach's dream. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it still wasn't enough. It still wasn't enough for the Titans to stand out in a crowded AFC. So let's build this thing around the quarterback and try to turn him into the type of quarterback that can go toe to toe with the conference's best. And so it's not a knock on Sonny Styles at all. I love Sonny Styles, but we gotta do something to try to turn this offense into something special, because that's the opportunity that's in front of you. That's why you draft a quarterback number one overall. And then you throw in all the cynical reasons too. I mean, you're building a new stadium. Come on. You don't want the running back on all of the fancy posters that hang outside the stadium? Get out of here. I would go guard, I think, but like Love makes a ton of sense for a million different reasons.
Yeah. Well, Dave, we really appreciate your time here today. Everyone check out The Athletic Football Show, where Dave Hellman is just an absolute star. And we did it. We successfully talked through all the options and ended up exactly where I wanted us to end up. So thank you,
just
Dave.
How you drew it up.
Master manipulator over here.
And we'll talk soon. Thanks.
Appreciate it, y'all.
All right. Thanks again to Dave for his time there. Justin, great conversation. Ended it. I mean, I can't be happier with the way that ended that conversation turned out. Never planned it to go in that direction. But yeah, I think the Titans have a lot of options. I think Maui Noah is one of them, but we know what the Titans are doing. Come on, man. We know.
You've already seen it. You've seen the vision. I feel like I know it. I know that you Venmo'd Dave a crisp 20. to come to the Jeremiah Love conclusion at the end of that. Look, I'll say it a bit more, you know, I think to flesh it out a little bit. I'd be shocked if they took Maui Noah. Like, I'd be shocked, right? Like, and maybe I'm too nice, but the devil's advocate side of it, like, I agree that we've, as the general public, general football fandom, we've been a little slow to catch up to guard not being as devalued as it used to be. Because again, ironclad argument. You just got to look at what NFL teams pay players. That is the determined value of positions. Full stop, period, a fact, non-debatable. And they pay guards quite a bit nowadays, right? Like ever since Robert Hunt got $20 million a year from the Panthers a couple of off seasons ago now, that's the direction that guard has been trending in. Tyler Linderbaum just signed a historic deal at center, right? Like, these guys are getting paid more than running backs and linebackers for that matter. So I do think when you talk about guard being a devalued position, it's no more devalued than running back or linebacker. In the grand scheme of things, from a value perspective, it's no crazier than those two.
It's less devalued even.
It's less devalued based on the salaries. But I cannot get on board with the whole, you know, well, I don't agree with the J.C. Latham thing. He's halfway through his rookie deal. We're talking about replacing him. They got 3 years left on J.C. Latham if they want them. I don't think Maui Noah's a left tackle, so I don't think he's the Dan Moore heir apparent. And I hate the idea of, and I said this to you a few episodes ago, but I'll say it again since we talked about it today. I hate the idea of like, well, he could play guard for a year and then you kick him out to tackle. I think it's a big mistake to do that with rookie young linemen. I think with Latham, like, starting him at left tackle in hindsight was probably a mistake if they were eventually going to kick him over to right tackle. They've made that mistake once, different regime, but they've made that mistake recently, and he didn't have a great year, and he was hurt, but I'm sure part of that has to do with switching positions two times in back-to-back off seasons, essentially, right? He went from right tackle to left tackle, and then left tackle back to right tackle. I hate it. Like, if you're going to draft this guy, you got to play him from the get-go of where you actually think you're going to play him. And I don't think, as much as I just said, it's not as devalued, I still don't think they're going to take a guard at number four. I think it's very likely that they are going to take a running back or a linebacker if the edge rusher is not an option.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you on most of that. I will say, like, if they did take Mauinoa, which again I think would be kind of crazy. I think it's much more likely if they manage to trade down. I think taking him at four is kind of bonkers. I agree with you. If it happens, I think it's not necessarily just about him. I think it says a little something about Latham, and that maybe some of the murmurs we heard about him kind of being on the, I don't know how to say it, the bad side of this new front office. Like, I don't know that they hold him in the highest regard. At least, I think you were right to say it's not the same as, quite the same as Jarvis Brownlee and Tavondre Sweat, but he was in the same draft class, and I wouldn't rule anything out, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. So, that's it on that front, and that's it for this episode. Tomorrow, Connor Orr, the article is out, so go check it out. If you haven't, I retweeted it this morning, so definitely something worth your time to read before you get to tomorrow's episode, so that you are as informed as we were when we were speaking, when we speak with Connor tomorrow. There we go. All right, I did it. Justin, that's it. My mock draft publishes on NFL Draft on SI tomorrow. Excited about that. Got to get it to you still. I will do it. I promise. I won't come too late. And we'll be back tomorrow. So until then, you have something last thing you want to say?
No, as his editor, though, for one day, I'm cracking the whip and making sure he gets that mock draft in ASAP, because I've got to edit it. And I really hope he's a good writer, because I'm not going to spend too much time editing it. Until tomorrow, when Connor Orr is on the show to talk about Justin Graver's favorite human being in the world. Yes, he's even surpassed his fiance, Jessica. We will talk Jeremiah Love tomorrow on the show with Connor Orr. Jessica, if you're watching this, you're probably not watching this, but he's nodding his head no. He loves you dearly.
No chance.
Marrying you in a couple weeks. He would be marrying Jeremiah Love, but Jeremiah turned down his advances. Until Connor Orr's on the show tomorrow, y'all stay safe out there and tighten up.
A Broadway Sports Media production.